So every week in Love Gives, there's a project to be a part of, something where we just want to show the love of God in real and practical ways. And just to give you a couple updates, most recently we've been talking about sponsoring a child at a school in Kenya. There's no free school there, and so if these children were not supported, they would not have that access to education. And in communication with the school, they could take up to 300 children. The school's at 130, so up to 300 is a lot more than they already have. And Washington Heights, in typical compassionate kind of response, 292 of those kids have been sponsored. And that is just amazing and incredible. And now the school needs to figure out how to house all of those. And they are going to be building another school building to include more classrooms and all of that. And they need more teachers and all of that. And so you'll see how we can be a part of donating towards that. And also, next week is our next Love Gives project. And it's something called Feed My Starving Children. And what does it look like? It looks a lot like this, which is controlled chaos for 2 hours or so, where we pack like 275,000 of these dry meal packs, and we don't get to choose where they go. The organization we work with identifies where the greatest need is and gets them there. So we cover the cost of all the supplies and the shipping as well, and you can just come and be a part of that, and it is just fun and exciting, and there's a lot of energy in all the different rooms where that is happening. And the pandemic changed that a little bit in recent times. We couldn't do it 1 year. Then it was different. We couldn't be in so much of a close proximity anymore. Well, you know what? We're back to crazy and the way that it's supposed to be done. And so we're going to stuff people in here like sardines in a can, and we're going to pack those meals once again. It is just a blast. Invite you to come. It's a great opportunity to invite somebody to join you as well. And some of the specifics around that, the doors are going to open here at 9 a.m. This is this next Saturday, December 10th. Doors open at 9. There's some training involved. The packing will start at 10 o'clock, and it is just too much fun to have in one day, and it really goes and meets a need. We've been able to see the delivery side of that firsthand, and truly, kids who need it are getting that food, and so it is just a great thing to be a part of. Some cost involved in both the school and Feed My Starving Children. The cost for the supplies and the shipping is $60,000, and then the school building to create more space there is at $75,000, and so the total is $135,000 total. And to give you just a little picture of Kenya and the school, Pastor Jimmy was there taking all those pictures that were taken of people who signed up to be sponsored, and he sent us this video just on Friday. Check this out.
Hey, Washington Heights, this is Jimmy Pitts, and I am in Kericho, Kenya, at Gateway to Victory School. You can see right behind me that, you know, we're raising some funds during Love Gives, and I just wanted to show you an update on the building and what's going on. So I can't thank you so much for during this season of all your contributions to make a difference in these kids' lives. So thank you so much. You guys want to say thank you?
Thank you!
Love Gives. Thanks for being a part of it. Let's turn our attention to the message for today. And we're going to talk about divine interruptions. And in the time that I have left, so many exciting things going on, and we love that. I'm going to talk about as fast as a New York lawyer here. So buckle up and settle in, and we're going to make our way through this. When you think of the Christmas story, you know, I think we have these quaint cards and nativity sets and all the great things that come along with Christmas, and it's awesome. But here's what I think we may not understand as we look at what we have made so comfortable and so quaint and so nice, is that in the first Christmas 2,000 years ago, there were real, normal people living lives, and here comes God's invasion into planet Earth, where Jesus, God in the flesh, is coming. And what it did for some people was interrupt lives that they were living. And it was not always easy for them. but it was always something so, so good. So let me begin this way, and we're going to see this in the story of two of the lesser-known characters in the Christmas story. That if there is, you know, something to come, and you don't know exactly what it is, what is your assumption? What is the conclusion that you jump to? And let me make it a little bit more specific. You're at work, and your boss says, hey, I need to see you in my office. Are you thinking, this is going to be great? I think I might get that promotion. I think I might get that bonus. Or is it, oh no, that's not good? Or if you see, you know, your phone ring and there's somebody there who's got, you know, some authority in your life, is it, boy, this is for a good reason? Or this is going to be something that's going to be a little bit hard? What kind of assumptions, conclusions do you jump to? And I believe that we live in a broken world, which makes the tendency really easy to jump in the direction of the negative, to think this is not going to be all that good. And here's why. Experience influences our beliefs. I mean, we saw that story from Rain in that video, and you think, well, yeah. I mean, when you go through a lot of that stuff, it's easy to just think that even if life is good right now, something hard could well be around the corner. And I think we just lean naturally in the direction of negative assumptions. Let me ask you maybe a more specific question. So what do you believe about God and what God is up to? And again, our experience can color that in all kinds of different ways, where even when we have a promise from God, we're not quite sure that it's going to turn out all that well. If God called you on your cell phone and up on your caller ID came King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, you know, God in the flesh, would you think, this is going to be great? Or would you think, uh-oh, something bad's about to come down and I'm in trouble? And I think we can lean in that direction because we've all experienced disappointment in all kinds of different ways. So let me, you know, set us up here for the story that we're going to jump into, these two lesser-known characters. Their names are Zechariah and Elizabeth. And these are two people that we find out, they love God. They've been faithful to God. They have served God. They have leaned into God. But you know what? Life has brought its disappointments. For them, very specifically, they have no children. And that's a difficult thing oftentimes in our day, but we have no idea how serious of an issue that was back then. There was a social and cultural stigma attached to it. And if you were a woman and could not get pregnant and have a child, it was as if there was an indication that God is against you and there is some kind of sin in your life, but it's not good. And if you were a man and you could not leave an heir, you could not have a son, there was this idea that God was against you and there was some kind of sin in your life. And what if you have been praying to God over and over again to have a child, but you have not heard anything? And what they're going to discover, because that's the place in which they are, what if God interrupted your disappointment this Christmas season? And maybe your scenario isn't exactly like theirs, but I think we know something about disappointment. And maybe even as we go into the season, it's a hard time of year for some because, man, everybody's happy. I know disappointment. But what if God interrupted that and gave us a different direction, where we would factor him in? So let me ask you this. What have you stopped praying for? Because you've been doing it for so long and you haven't seen or heard anything. Who have you stopped praying for? What have you stopped hoping for? Because that dream is pretty old now and nothing's changed. Who have you stopped hoping for? And if you know something about that, this story is part of your story. And I think God has a direction that he wants to take all of us. And I think here's what we're going to discover, that God's interruptions are invitations to something bigger than myself. But it requires us to learn how we can look past some of those disappointments, because they are real and they happen in a world like this. So let's jump into the story, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And there appeared to him is Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Have you noticed that whenever somebody in the Bible sees an angel, they get afraid? And I think we wonder, why is that? Right? And in our minds, angels are like these pudgy toddlers with diapers on, you know, shooting little arrows of love into one another. But that's not what angels look like in the Bible. Angels are not our departed loved ones. They are these created beings that were meant to serve God. They're often messengers for God, and that's what's happening in this moment. But the reason that people have fear fall upon them is because angels are warriors, and they are intimidating, and they are reacting in the right way to what they are seeing. But the angels said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." What prayer is that? Well, it's connected, and we understand in this next phrase, "And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." And what it helps us to understand behind the scenes is that there were days, months, years, decades where Zechariah and Elizabeth were saying, "God, would you bless us with a child?" And in the realm of prayers, right? I mean, he's not praying for a Lamborghini. He's not praying for something selfish. He's praying for something that's good. And he hears nothing. But this helps us understand that God does hear our prayers. God's timing is not always what we want it to be, but your prayer has been heard. What prayer is that? Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. There's a couple of Johns in the Bible. Which one is this? This is John the Baptist, the one who comes ahead of Jesus to announce his arrival. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, making him unique among all people who were born. That is not the case for everybody, but it was for John, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah, in the same way as one of the great prophets in the Old Testament. That same kind of message and that same kind of spirit, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. What is God talking about here? He's helping us understand, you know, God is the most important thing. What's more important right after that is relationships and people, and the rest pretty much is details, to make ready for the Lord a people who are prepared. It's about God, it's about relationships, and God is just about to do something. And you who have been praying for a child for all of these years, you are now getting an answer to that prayer, and you have been faithful to God, you've loved God, and so naturally when you get that promise and God shows up in that dramatic kind of a way, you're standing next to the altar of God, here comes a messenger from God to tell you that the promise of God is now going to become reality in your life. Of course, somebody on the other side of that is going to say, "Jackpot. My day has finally come. And I knew it was coming, and I was hanging in there, and now God has shown up." Well, not exactly. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man," and notice now how he's very kind to his wife. "I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." I may be old, she's advanced in years. This is a gracious guy, all right? And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this," what? Good news. But he's asking, "How does this work?" You know, right now, I'm just going to tell you the facts, messenger of God, that we're old, and our days have come and gone with all that. And here's the reality of where we are. And I don't know about you, I can identify with what Zechariah is feeling in that moment. Because when you've known disappointment for a long time, it's easy to jump in that direction, to jump to that conclusion. But this is bringing good news. "And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And for the rest of the pregnancy that happens, Zechariah is not able to speak. And we think, boy, is God punishing somebody? No, I think he's disciplining someone. Discipline is good. Punishment is different. And during this time, what a day-by-day reminder that when the promises of God come, it's good to believe and to lean in the direction of belief. And I wonder, for the rest of Zechariah's days, you know, when there was a promise of God, my guess is he leaned in the direction of belief. And all that is promised comes true. Everything that was predicted happens. But Zechariah, in the middle of this story, jumps to a conclusion: to doubt. And I don't know about you, but I know what that is like, because I can have that tendency as well. That when something is uncertain or we're not exactly sure or I'm not holding it in my hands, I can doubt. And disappointment often leads us in the direction of jumping to the conclusion of doubt. And here's what I think we learn from this moment in Zechariah's story, that when we request certainty, we limit the joy and the opportunity of trusting God. That if we can see it all and we can hold it all in those moments, it doesn't require any faith in who God is, in what he's up to, in what he's promised. And so let me ask you again this question: what do I believe about God? Because if we've logged any time with him, we know that he's given us certain promises. He's given us, you know, just an indication of what he's up to in this world, at least, you know, on some high level. But even in that story that we're living, there's this tendency that we can jump to the negative conclusion. Well, in the same chapter, in Luke chapter 1, we meet another woman, and I think you're really familiar with her. Her name is Mary, and she also now is pregnant. And it's a little bit of a contrast here. Elizabeth's too old to have a child. Well, in that culture, Mary's too young to have a child, and she's not married. And hers is a little bit different. They're both these miraculous births, but she is a virgin, and she is with child. One's too old, one's too young, and now they're going to have a meeting with each other. Look what happens. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Who is that? That's John, who was predicted by the angel, "Your prayers have been heard." And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she explained with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" We're going to come back to that. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So John, unborn baby John, also jumps to a conclusion when he is in the presence of Jesus, and he jumps for joy. What a different reaction to the conclusion to which Zechariah jumped. So we've got some jumpers in this story. So what I want to do is I want to take a look at some jumping lessons for people like us who jump to conclusions of all different kinds. And how can we jump well? So here's the first lesson: factor God into your jump. And as I think about that, and I think about, you know, even recent times, again, I will admit to you that it's easy for me to lean and to tend toward the negatives. Not that long ago, as we all know, there was a pandemic, right? And the predictions about all kinds of different things were bleak. And that includes church life and world, and in reading people, you know, across this country, the predictions were dire of what this all would mean. And yet in so many different ways, God was so much bigger than all of that. Can I share with you just a couple things, a couple ways in which God showed up in our most recent season here? Right, I can remember when they said, "Yeah, you know, we need to shut things down." We thought, "Oh, well, that's only going to be for a couple weeks, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, and then we'll be back at it." But then that turned to months. And what do you do when you can't even be together and you're online, but it's not the same, you know, as it is being here, and especially if that's what we have known? And all the predictions, you know, there are going to be a lot of churches that are going to close, and there's never going to be the same again. In this last season, we tend to track kind of like the school year. Let me just show you a couple ways that God showed up recently. In the last year, 291 people said yes to Jesus. Who's 291 people who said, you know what, I want to start a relationship with the Jesus of the Bible. People we followed up with, and yeah, that's a number, but I got to tell you, every one of those numbers represents a person. Many of them were 18 years old and younger. And I think about, what change of trajectory does that mean for marriages, for families in the future, for so much that's there? And this person who, when the pandemic started, was probably leaning in the direction of, oh no, one of the lessons I learned is God's way bigger than a pandemic and all the things that come along with it. I think there's a tendency for people to shrink back from getting involved. Right now, in the last year, on average, 355 people serve on a Sunday morning and throughout the week here at Washington Heights. So much of this on the top line would not have happened if it wasn't for this, of many of you serving so faithfully. And if that is you, you are plugged in some way, can I just say thank you to what you do and the difference that you make? It really would not happen without you. And also, something that came out of the pandemic, we think, gee, it's all negative. We were online before the pandemic started, but that whole thing changed and blew up in the pandemic and afterwards. In the last year, 777 people connected in some way via technology. And all of a sudden, there are people in, you know, godforsaken places like New Jersey, which is where I'm from, who all of a sudden got to experience a little bit of the Jesus of the Bible. And even in technology, there's an opportunity for God's grace to be shared. God is just so much bigger than whatever it is that we face in this world. But it's easy not to lean in that direction because of disappointment we face. And I'll just tell you personally, you know, when an email comes in and I see on it, you know, a concern or a question or can we talk, my initial inclination whenever I see that is this is not coming from the cheering section. You know what I mean? That is coming from somebody who's got an issue, who's not happy, whatever the case might be. Why do we do that? Can I tell you one of the reasons why I think I lean in that direction? In my journey over, you know, some decades of being a pastor, there was a time when somebody went to the powers that be, at least or so they thought, and they asked this question, how do you remove a pastor? How do you do that? And those kind of things, you know, make you a little bit uncertain about what you're not sure of and if there is a blank somewhere in the future. One of the great lessons we've been learning in our small group together is that we're just called to be faithful, and God's responsibility is outcomes. And sometimes some things even happen in this world that we wouldn't choose, but you know what? I'm not called to control and manage every outcome. I'm called to be faithful. And God holds the outcomes. And he's even bigger, potentially, than the negative outcomes. So what are we going to do as we go forward here in the predictions still of what, you know, life is going to be like on this side of the pandemic are kind of bleak and a little bit negative, church world and otherwise. Can I tell you one of the things that we're thinking about right now? Have you noticed that in this world, there's a lot of pain? There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of struggle of all different kinds. And one of the things that we're looking at right now is what if there was a Christian counseling center where counseling was available and made available to anybody and everybody who needed it? And counseling that factored God into the equation and just sought to be on the healing and helping side of that. That's what we're talking about right now, trying to figure out how to make that real. I think many people are saying, hang on to what you got and buckle down and kind of ride it out. I don't know. We've learned along the way God is way bigger than whatever is happening right now. So what is God up to? I think he's up to bringing some healing and some hope and some help to people. And so we're going to try to figure out how to join him in that. So first, jumping lessons, factor God into your jump. And then second, behavior begins in belief. I really believe this dynamic is true, that whatever you are looking for, that's what you're going to find. You know, if you're looking for negativity, you're looking for, you know, people who are kind of blowing it, you're going to find that. If you're looking for hope, you're looking for something positive, opportunities to be involved in something that's going to be helpful, you can find that too. And so what is it that we believe about God? And could it be that maybe we need to look past and get past some of the disappointments so that we can understand God is bigger and God is at work in all kinds of different ways? How can I join him in what he is doing? And then finally, just real fast, before you jump, remember Jesus. And there's that picture of an unborn John leaping for joy in the presence of Jesus as he recognizes this is what God has been up to from the very beginning. And this is going to change everything in so many profound ways. So remember his provision. Remember his great love for you. No matter who you are, Jesus loves you. And here's something that I think blows our minds even more than that. I can remember my daughter one time when she was going through a difficult season and we said, you know, we love you. She goes, you have to love me. You're my parents. Right? It's like written into the job description. But God not only loves us and we think, yeah, he has to. He's God. God likes you. God likes you. You say, well, I'm a little weird. Yeah, get in line. Join the club. Remember Jesus, because he came. He came for you. And so I want to give us maybe a little bit of a homework assignment this coming week, and it comes from this verse that we looked at before. Elizabeth speaking to Mary in that moment, in that greeting, and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In another translation, what's in yellow there says, why am I so highly favored? And I wonder if maybe we could ask this question, pray this prayer. Why am I so favored? Why is this granted to me? Out of all the countries in the world where I could be born, I'm born here. And yeah, we got our issues. But you know what? We are incredibly blessed. It is the land of opportunity, of so much freedom. Why am I so favored? Out of all the people in the world, why do I struggle with what to wear? Because I have so much stuff in my closet that I can't decide. Can I get a witness? Thank you. So many places in the world, that decision doesn't exist. What you got is what you got. Why am I so favored? Out of all the places and people in the world, why do I never have to worry about whether or not I'm going to eat today? That may be my biggest decision is what I'm going to eat, but I don't have to worry about whether or not I'll eat. That's not true for everybody in the world. Why am I so favored? Why is this granted to me? But there's been a God who has been so, so good to me. And maybe there are those positive questions that we can ask ourselves. And if you tend to lean into the direction of jumping to negative conclusions, could it be that maybe this Christmas season, God wants to interrupt your disappointment and mine so that we could get a different perspective and recognize that if he does that, you know what he's up to? His interruptions are invitations to something bigger than myself. Would you bow your heads together with me? So God, we thank you for what this season means, of how it points to your great love for us, that you were willing to leave heaven, come to this world, and to redeem it. And God, thank you that people like us can belong to a God like you. It's all you're doing. It's your sacrifice. It's your body broken for us. It's your blood that was shed for us. And God, help us to know that our hope is in you. And yet we live in a real world where sometimes real hard things happen. But God, in that tension of those things, may we also recognize that we have been so highly favored and that we have been given so many good gifts from a great God. And so God, change our perspective, interrupt our disappointment, and help us to see your powerful work that unfolds even now, that you are the same God who showed up to change things. So lead us closer to you. Help us to join you in the things that you are doing. God, help us to know disappointment does not have the final word. You have the final word. And so we ask and we pray all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thanks for being here. And normally I'd invite you to the meet and greet room. We're under construction. We're creating a new meet and greet room. So I'm not going to go in there. I'll be right over here. If you want to stop by and say hi, my wife will be there. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. All right. We'll see you soon.